Long Hope Radio.
Christmas. Remember when we were kids? Does anybody remember? It was a happy time. We put up the tree right after Thanksgiving. We put the presents under the tree. Just a few. Because as we all knew, Santa would bring the rest. So there were just a few very carefully wrapped gifts under the tree. Gifts that we gave to each other. And when Christmas morning arrived, beneath the tree would be filled magically with presents. Presents from Santa. The night before, we placed cookies and milk out on the counter or on the mantle. They were for Santa. Come morning, they were gone. We knew Santa had been there. The joy of that early, early Christmas morning, unwrapping our gifts one at a time, and then only slightly later, the smell of food cooking, bacon, eggs, grits, toast, jam, jelly, orange juice, milk. And then all day long, the sound of laughter and singing, and It's a Wonderful Life playing in the background. But today, so many years later, it's not Christmas anymore. It's Happy Solstice. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Sorry for the delay, but my legal department has just approved the following holiday greeting. Please accept with no obligation, implied or implicit, my best wishes for an environmentally conscious, socially responsible, low stress, non-addictive, gender neutral celebration of the winter solstice holiday, practiced, yes, within the most enjoyable traditions of the religious persuasion of your choice, and of course, the secular practices of your choice, with respect for the religious secular persuasions and or traditions of others, or their choice not to practice religious or secular traditions at all. And of course, a fiscally successful, personally fulfilling, and medically uncomplicated recognition of the onset of the generally accepted calendar year 2010. Remember when it was all so simple? I'm just reminded of a Gladys Knight tune. Remember when it was all so simple then? Or has time rewritten every line? And if we had the chance to do it all again, tell me, would we? Could we? Memories. A memory of a joyful, simpler, less complicated Christmas season. Back to my greeting for those of you who are politically correct. Not without due respect for the calendars of choice of other cultures whose contributions to society have helped make America great. Not to imply that American or America is necessarily greater than any other country, or is the only America in the Western Hemisphere. And without regard to race, creed, color, age, physical ability, religious faith, choice of computer platform, or, of course, sexual orientation. By accepting this greeting, you are accepting these terms. This greeting is subject to clarification or withdrawal, and it is freely transferable with no alteration to the original greeting. It implies no promise by the wisher, me, none, mind you, to actually implement any of the wishes for her or himself or others, and is void where prohibited by law, and is revocable at the sole discretion of the wisher, me. This wish is warranted to perform as expected within the usual palestation of good tidings for a period of just 1 year, or until the issuance of a subsequent holiday greeting, whichever comes first, and warranty is limited to replacement of this wish or issuance of a new wish at the sole discretion of me, the wisher. So, now that we've covered all that, I have rendered my greeting and the legal ease that comes with a greeting of this type nowadays, I once again wish everyone, keeping in mind my legal department's approval, happy solstice, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, and Merry Christmas. And if I left anything out, any particular faith or persuasion, please call in and correct me. I do not wish to be sued for lack of rendering the appropriate greeting. The number is 347-884-8500. Now, let's move on. Because this show today, the theme of this show is back by popular demand. I have had more than 700 downloads or listens to my war/politically correct Christmas segments. And I have been requested by more than a few listeners to continue that theme right up until Christmas Day. So I've taken the time to put aside everything else that's going on in the political world today. And there are many, many interesting and complicated issues to be dealt with for another time. We'll put them off just for today. I would like to recite my very own Christmas poem, written by my own hand, my own fertile brain. I'd like to share it with you, if you'll have it, if you'll listen. Like to hear, here go. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and Santa is a wreck. How to live in a world that's politically correct. His workers no longer would answer to elves. Vertically challenged, they were calling themselves. And labor conditions at the North Pole were alleged by the unions to stifle the soul. Four reindeer had vanished without much propriety, released to the wilds by the Humane Society. And equal employment had made it quite clear that Santa had better not use just reindeer. So Dancer and Donner, Comet and Cupid, were replaced with four pigs. And you know that looks stupid. The runners had been removed from his beautiful sleigh because the ruts were deemed too dangerous by the EPA. And millions of people were calling the cops when they heard sled noises upon their rooftops. Secondhand smoke from his pipe had his workers quite frightened, and his fur-trimmed red suit was called unenlightened. To show you the strangeness of today's ebb and flows, Rudolph was suing over unauthorized use of his nose. He went to Geraldo in front of the nation, demanding millions in overdue workers' compensation. So half of the reindeer were gone, and his wife, who suddenly said she'd had enough of this life, joined a self-help group, packed, and left in a Weiss, demanding from now on that her title was Miss. And as for gifts, why? He'd never had the notion that making a choice could cause such commotion. Nothing of leather and nothing of fur, which meant nothing for him or nothing for her. Nothing to aim, nothing to shoot, nothing that clamored or made lots of noise, nothing for just girls, and nothing for just boys. Nothing that claimed to be gender-specific, nothing that's warlike or non-pacifistic. No candy or sweets. They were bad for the tooth. Nothing that seemed to embellish upon the truth. And fairy tales, while not yet forbidden, were like Ken and Barbie, better off hidden. For they raise the hackles of those psychological who claimed the only good gift was one ecological. No baseball, no football. Someone might get hurt. Besides playing sports, exposed kids to dirt. Dolls were said to be sexist and should be passé, and Nintendo would rot your entire brain away. So Santa just stood there, disheveled and perplexed. He just couldn't figure out what to do next. He tried to be merry and he tried to be gay, but you must have to admit he was just having a bad day. His sack was quite empty. It was flat on the ground. Nothing fully acceptable was anywhere to be found. Something special was needed. A gift that he might give to us all without angering the left or the right. A gift that would satisfy with no indecision. Each group of people in every religion, every race, every hue, everyone everywhere, even you. So here is that gift. It's priced beyond worth. May you and your loved ones enjoy peace on earth. And that is my Christmas poem for today. There'll be another tomorrow. And so we continue with the war on Christmas as our theme. Remember when Christmas was simple and joyful? Do you remember? Are we too old to remember how beautiful Christmas was? How it wasn't about rushing about purchasing gifts and worrying about what to get that special someone, and oh yes, even that not so special someone or someones. Now it's not going to Macy's or my hometown store, Carson Peary Scott, or Marshall Field on State Street in Chicago. It wasn't about looking for that perfect gift. It's not about that anymore, I mean. It's about gift cards placed into little tiny envelopes, just slightly bigger than the gift card itself. And perhaps that being wrapped in a very generic happy holiday card so as not to offend the person one is giving the gift card to. So many people are rushing out to shop late for Christmas, only to stop at Walmart or Walgreens or some such place that sells gift cards to be distributed among the masses of friends and family. Remember when we would wake up and on Christmas morning and open our gifts, and it was something that either we really had no use for at all, or something wonderful, but we still felt loved because the person giving us the gift chose it just for us. It was a very personal thing back then. Now it's a gift card. Remember, Christmas is not about giving things. It's about love. It's about remembering that Christ died for our sins so that we would not have to carry the burden. He would do it for us. It was about celebrating the birth of Jesus, and we must remember that it still is. Life is beautiful. And this time of year is when we truly take time to become introspective and reflective. And I think both those words mean the same thing. Nevertheless, we look back on the past year, and we think about some of the things that we've done, the people we've met, the life that we led over the year, and how we'd like to improve upon it for the coming year and become better people, better neighbors and better friends, better companions, just better overall. So that each year that we exist, we better ourselves every year. That's what resolutions are for, although hardly any of us can say that we really keep them. It is the season for the joy of giving. But not just things, not just material things, but love and respect and admiration. Tell someone that you love them, those that you love, because As we know, tomorrow is promised to no one. So cherish today. All right. We've talked about Christmas. We've talked about the season for reflection and introspection. Now let's talk about those damn Democrats. My goodness, what a mess. They have gotten their asses handed to them in the November elections, and now they've just thrown down, bam, a 1,924-page overreaching spending bill to cover the rest of the fiscal year to the tune of $1.1 billion. They can't stop spending your money. They can't stop. Maybe it's Christmas presents. Arrows for little kids. Toll roads. Tunnels for sea turtles to so don't get run over. Remind me to tell you my sea turtle story one day. Two sources who spoke to Fox News are describing the legislation as a total mess. But the head of the Senate Appropriations Committee, Senator Daniel Inouye, when is that guy going to die? He was 90 years old when I was 12. A Democrat from Hawaii said he believed the legislation must pass. Yeah, before he keels over. Because Daniel Inouye, who is a World War II hero, is still breathing. And probably not for long. Because damn. He's like that Empire Carpet guy. You know what I'm talking about? That old dude? They're not even showing his face anymore. They're showing an animation of him. You know why? Because the Empire Carpet guy was doing the Empire Carpet commercials when I was 7 years old. I am 48 years old now. I kid you not. I remember sitting in front of the TV watching the Ray Rayner show and Bozo the Clown. And in between both of those is the Empire Carpet guy. That very same guy. He's got to be 700 years old by now. But I digress. What are we going to do about these folks? I mean, pretty soon, Democrats are going to be extinct. And there was talk of the extinction of the Republican Party. Where? Where on this planet does anyone not understand that spending money that you do not have leads to bankruptcy and financial collapse? We are there, people. We are there right now. Oh, yeah, you go to work and you come home and you go buy groceries and you do all the things. I do all those things, too. And you don't even give a thought to what's going on in Washington. Because, as I've stated many times before, you believe that America has always been here and will always be here. It's like an 18-year-old. Who has no idea that someday he's going to die. That he will not always be strong. He will not always be fast. He will not always be young. But he doesn't know that. He believes that he's nearly invincible. I was that guy. And that's how people think about the United States of America, our great country. They believe that we will be here forever. No matter what we do to our country will survive. I'm here to tell you that's not the case. We are spending ourselves into oblivion. Life as we know it will soon change and not for the better. Let me give you some examples, if I may. We talked about my main man, George Soros, billionaire, hedge fund, spooky, evil empire dude. In the words of George Soros, it's hard to believe that much is coincidence. But let's entertain the possibility of some coincidences for the next few minutes. Imagine. What if George Soros just happened to be connected to a group that helped elect a Secretary of State, who then oversaw two recounts that ended in the election of Democrats? That one of those elections was for a governorship. And then the newly elected governor turned around and attended a fundraiser to cover those recount expenses at George Soros' house, headlined by a former president. Would you say that that's just a George Soros coincidence? Would you say that? That all just happened. And here's how it happened. It all started in late 2006. Then Soros-backed Secretary of State project, the Democracy Alliance, SOS, was founded to make sure that liberals and progressives, instead of conservatives, oversee key elections, which includes recounts. The idea is simple, according to a Soros insider. A group backed by Soros is gearing up to steal the 2012 election for Barack Obama and congressional Democrats by installing left-wing Democrats as secretaries of state across the nation. For such posts, secretaries of state can help tilt the election playing field, electoral playing field. Interesting, isn't it? It's been said that the hand that rocks the cradle controls the future. The editors of Investor's Business Daily, a company that I once worked for, last month in agreement, SOS was founded on the belief that the hand that runs the election machinery controls our democracy. And as you know from previous radio segments, I have spoken and revealed how George Soros would like to bring crashing down our economic and political system to suit his own ends. And it sounds extraordinary, doesn't it? It sounds that way to me each time I say it. It sounds like something from a conspiracy movie. Doesn't it? I mean, really. Because it sounds that way to me sometimes, and I wonder. It sounds kind of bizarre. It would be, if it weren't coming from the man himself, his actual words, not taken out of context. The man is brazen. He's got balls as big as church bells, because he says this stuff openly, because he believes that it can't be stopped, that the ship has already sailed. So he gets in front of crowd after crowd for fundraisers and college campus talks and anywhere else that he can get in front of the media, and he tells us all what he's planning and what he wants to do. He's very open about it. There's nothing secretive about what he liked to see. Open borders, no countries, no nationalities. No Christians, no Jews, no religion. No, nothing resembling modern governments. Just an open society with he at the head of the table. He has billions of dollars in which to help bring this about, and he uses his money in the most creative and interesting ways to help bring about his vision. We are proud of our 2006 victory in Minnesota, where longtime reformer Mark Ritchie pulled off a major upset with our support, their website says. It goes on to pat itself on the back for Ritchie's re-election this year. Backing Ritchie seems to have helped SOS achieve the overall goal. Ritchie later oversaw the recount between Democrat comedian Al Franken and Republican Norm Coleman, which eventually led to Franken being elected despite voter irregularities. As IBD says, under Ritchie's supervision, it was decided which ballots would be counted, which would be discarded, and how and when recounts would occur. That helps when we now know that more felons voted illegally in that race than the margin of Franken's victory. And felons, it has been determined, tend to support Democrats. Is that interesting? Does that interest you at all? George Soros has pulled another rabbit out of the hat in his goal for open borders. And you say, well, Dr. Jones, this is fantastic. It's crazy. This sort of thing could never occur. And if it did, so what? How does it affect me? Well, to read on, he goes on to say that seems to be, it seems like a good investment, especially since SOS praises Ritchie for his work and helping send Franken to the Senate, where his vote has been much needed. Ritchie, you'll remember, was exposed by Trevor London as a friend of the Communist Party in one of its not-for-publication letters. Is it just a coincidence, I ask? I mean, I'm asking. I'm not reading. Is it just a coincidence? That brings us all the way back around to George Soros. It was reported Monday that Mark Dayton, the new governor-elect, was meeting with Soros and donors at a Monday night closed-door meeting at Soros' New York apartment. That event was to feature former President Bill Clinton, slated to help Dayton raise money to refill his coffers after the costly recount. So the plot thickens, does it not? So, George Soros believes that if he can control secretaries of state around the country, and they're at his control and his behest, then he can control the count. So, when Clarence Jones goes in to vote, if I vote conservative, Republican, then perhaps my vote will be put off to the side. And then after the voting, the polls close, if my vote is deemed to be not a factor, perhaps it'll be put back in the pile with the other conservative votes. If it's deemed to be a factor in determining who the winner might be, then my vote may be discarded, because George Soros is buying secretaries of state and thus influencing elections. So the next time you go into the voting booth, remember remember who your Secretary of State is, and where do they come from, and who elected them, or who appointed them Secretary of State. What's their background? Because you may be making that trip to the voting booth for absolutely nothing. Because the only way that George Soros and people like him can influence the direction of this great country is through the voting ballot. Because just think, if it is judged that our voting and election system is rigged, and it is discovered that it is so, the vast majority of Americans will revolt. And I don't mean peacefully. Oh, there'll be no marching. There'll be no kumbaya holding hands and singing. There'll be ass whooping. Serious violence. And the delicately woven fabric of this country will come undone. So Soros has to be very careful. And those seeking to fundamentally transform the United States of America, Barack Hussein Obama, well, they will have done so one way or the other. Think about that. That's how what's going on in the world affects you. When you go to work tomorrow with only thoughts of what are you going to have for lunch? Who are you meeting with for lunch? You have to pick up the dry cleaning. You had to, well, you need to head over to Walmart and pick up some milk and some cheese and some bread, some yogurt. Oh, and then you got to get home because it's really cold outside and you want to get in and get some hot cocoa and just kind of veg out in front of the TV with your nice warm blanket. Oh, and you don't have a care in the world. Christmas is coming. Family's going to be pouring into town and life is going to be just great and oh, forget about that Fox News. They're a bunch of, they're just so biased. Oh, and forget that MSNBC and CNN. And oh man, who cares about all that stuff? We don't need to watch all that stuff. Let's put the Flintstones on, or you know, the Jetsons, or Desperate Housewives, or American Idol. This stuff doesn't affect me. Oh, so what if the price of gas is going up by 5 cents in the last month? Oh, so what if my yogurt at Walmart was 40 cents 3 months ago and now it's 59 cents? That's no big deal. It's just a few extra pennies, right? Milk was $3.49 a gallon, and oh, it's close to $5 now, but hey, you know what? That's just the way things are. No need to worry about it. Just pay the extra money and move along. It's all good. Right? America. America's catching on. America is catching on. Zogby Interactive. Obama approval falls. Ties low of 39%. 63% of Americans call him weak leader. No doubt. Did you see the way he stood next to Bill Clinton? And didn't Bill appear so much taller than Barack, so much more confident, so much more vibrant and vigorous. Heart problems and all, Barack stood next to him like a younger brother looking up to an older brother, the big football hero. Barack Hussein Obama stood next to Bill Clinton and looked like, well, he looked impotent. He looked like his little Peter had just kind of shriveled up and tucked itself somewhere between his legs, like a puppy. And then when he said to the media, as he looked at his watch and said, "I gotta go. I've kept Michelle waiting long enough. I gotta get out of here." What a candy ass. But I think I understand. Michelle looks meaner and tougher and more resolute than the President of the United States of America. He looks like a chump nowadays, and he behaves like one. Who gives his podium up to a former president once removed? And just says, "Hey, you can take it from here, Bill. I got to get to my wife. You know, I can't keep her waiting. You know, with those big forearms of hers and those muscular pecs, you know, she might issue a beat down, and I can't take that. So I got to get out of here. You go ahead and handle the press conference, and you know, cause you know what to do. I got to get to Michelle before she gets angry." President Barack Obama's job approval rating has fallen again to 39%, equaling a low since he took office. Also, 63% of likely voters say Obama is a weak leader, compared to 19% who label him strong. Who are those folks? Who are those 19% who label Barack Obama strong? Who are those morons? Probably some black folks from the hood who will enjoy Barack Obama no matter what he does. No matter what he does, black folks are going to kiss his butt because there's so much invested in him from the black community simply because he's black and he speaks well. I can't tell you how many times I went into an interview or a meeting and had a white person tell me, "Well, you're very articulate." Well, of course I said thank you. Of course I am. But it didn't seem to me as much of a compliment. But that's what they say about Barack Hussein Obama. He's so articulate. It's a backhanded compliment at best. And black people love him. It doesn't matter that he sucks all to be damned. No, it doesn't matter that he hasn't done anything at all for the black community. The south side of Chicago, where he attended church. Hell, I'm a United States Marine with 25 years combat experience. I've been in wars, battles. I've been shot. I've been stabbed. I've been blowed up. Venture into the south side of Chicago, where Obama attended church? I don't think so. In an armored car, maybe. Armed to the teeth. But this guy attended church there for 20-some-odd years. The place is a hellhole. But I'll tell you what. I walk down the streets of Chicago all armored up. All Kevlar'd up. Loaded to the teeth. Ask a person on the street corner, 95th and Halsted, to say, "Hey, what do you think of Barack Obama?" "Oh, I love him. I love me some Barack. I love me some Barack." "Okay, why? What has he done?" No. What has he done so far?" "He just gives us hope." "Okay. Well, what kind of hope? What do you mean?" "Well, he gives us hope for the future." And what about the woman who said, famous YouTube video where upon the election of Barack Obama, she said, "I don't have to worry no more Barack Obama's going to pay for my gas. He's going to pay for my electric bill. He's going to pay my mortgage. I don't have to worry no more. I wonder where that woman is today. I mean, was she kidding? And what about the woman in Detroit who said that she was standing in line at a community center to get some money? And when she was asked where the money was going to come from, she said it was going to come from Barack Obama's stash. That Barack Obama had a stash, and that's why she was standing in line to get some money from his stash. I kid you not. So all of these people who voted for this hope and change, I believe that 19% still believe that Barack Hussein Obama represents hope and change and freebies, free stuff. And what about the old lady? Least we forget the old lady and the poor old woman in Kissimmee, Florida, who, when Barack Obama stopped for a campaign rally, asked him to provide for her a new house. And with that new house, a brand new kitchen. And she swore up and down that Barack Hussein Obama was going to provide for her a brand new house and a brand new kitchen. How many folks out there of any persuasion are still waiting for that free house, for that free car, for their bills to be paid? Are you still waiting for those free goodies, folks? What happens if Barack doesn't deliver? What happens when Barack doesn't deliver all the free goodies? Are you still going to vote for him in 2012? How's that hope and that change working out for you? I'd really like to know. I'd like to hear from some folks tonight. 347-884-8500. I want to know how that hope and that change is working for you. I want to know about the free goodies. Yeah. America, the beautiful, but not the land of the free stuff. So Obama's approval rating is dropping, and pundits across the country are responding, saying that, well, Bill Clinton's approval ratings were pretty much right around the same at this time, and you know he was reelected. And those diehard liberals will also say that, well, you know, Ronald Reagan's approval numbers were right around the same. And he was reelected. He bounced back. But Barack Hussein Obama is no Bill Clinton. You could see that. He let Bill Clinton be president for 30 or 40 minutes while he went off and ran to his wife. Ran off. I got to get to Michelle before she gets angry and smacks me around a little bit with those big old forearms of hers. So, if he's no Bill Clinton, he let Bill be president for 30 to 40 minutes while he ran off to a Christmas party. He's certainly no Ronald Reagan. So, should be interesting, am I right? Let's find out what happens in 2012. Will Soros, Georgie, be able to buy the next election? I wonder. I'm waiting. Will people be dumb enough to allow it? Let's listen to the poor woman who was waiting for some free stuff. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of you haven't heard this. So here we go.
Promotions ran high following Obama's speech.
It was the most memorable time of my life. It was a touching moment. Because I never thought this day would ever happen. I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
She won't have to worry about putting gas in her car. She won't have to worry about paying her mortgage, she said. This is the most memorable time of her life. If she helps him, he's going to help her. Is there any more evidence of plantation-like thinking? Slave mentality? For black people out there who believe that their savior, the anointed one, Barack Hussein Obama, is going to give them free stuff. And all that is required is that you vote for Barack Obama. That's all. Barack Obama will save the masses and provide. Our deity in chief will provide for us all. By her.
Peggy Joseph.
Listen to this one more time.
After an Obama rally. Listen carefully. Cut five. Go.
It was the most memorable time of my life. It was a touching moment. Because I never thought this day would ever happen. I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
I just saw Barack Obama. He's a liar. And he is pandering to people who are susceptible to the charisma of a demagogue.
Barack Obama, our savior, our mortgage payer, the person who will pay for our gas, well, we'll talk more tomorrow. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a pleasant evening. And may God willing, you'll be here tomorrow, and so will I. Good night.
Upon your tree that makes your Christmas. just so I could come and be with you on Christmas Day. Angels brought me where you are, and heaven gave me life. I'm the friendly little star you wish upon each night. Twinkle, twinkle, little me, I have a present too. And if you give unselfishly and make a wish come true, I'll always shine for you. Look out the window. You see that little star way up there? The one that's all alone? Well, that's me. That's right. And this Christmas, I'm coming all the way down to where you are just to light up your Christmas tree. And I hope to light up your heart. Well, twinkle, twinkle, little me, have a present too. If you give unfair.